Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rodan political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, all.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the state Republican chairman in Rhode Island, Brandon Bell. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again.
Let's start with the race for governor. It's heating up and rival candidates are increasing their criticism of Democratic Governor Gina Raimondo. Raimondo points to her record on the economy in saying that she's the best choice to lead the state forward. Chairman Bell, we know it's your job to criticize Democrats, but we see, for example, how the U.S. Commerce Department said Rodan had the top rate of economic growth in the Northeast for the last quarter of 2017. So does Governor Raimondo deserve any credit for economic improvement in Rhode Island?
I think President Trump deserves credit for economic improvement in Rhode Island. The national economy has gotten better and better, and Rhode Island has slowly. We're always the last out of the recession.
But if you want to go that way, we can also say the economy was improving for dozens of months before President Obama had left office.
You asked me the question about Governor Raimondo. What I would say is I'm looking for the cranes in the sky. I see cranes in the sky. I think they're Brown University's cranes for the most part. We're throwing subsidies. We're bribing companies to come in. I don't see that working. I see hotels. I see, Wexford. There are some positive initiatives. But that's not a good economic development strategy. How about let's cut taxes. Let's reform. Let's make bigger reforms here.
How about that, Scott? What do you say about this?
Well, look, I'm always skeptical of politicians who, quote unquote, create jobs. They don't. However, they can make decisions that are really stupid. And I have to say, for Governor Raimondo, there have been no 38 studios initiatives like the last Republican governor. And I think that she's tried to push some things that may pan out a few years down the road. For instance, the tuition-free at CCRI has some promise. It's not perfect yet. But I do think she's trying her best to push the state in the direction.
Now, Maureen, there is some fodder for Republicans to use against Governor Raimondo. Certainly, there have been a lot of problems with the UHIP IT system, issues with DCYF, the Child Welfare Agency. But there has been some progress on the economy. How do you see the lookout?
I definitely see that there's been progress on the economy. I mean, when you think of job programs, unemployment rates, revenues are up. There are cranes in the sky. Some of these partnering, electric boat. I mean, I think you can falter on some of these other issues as far as transparency, UHIP, and those administrative problems. But I think she's done a very good job in terms of moving this state forward economically. Sure, we are slower at coming out of the recession, but we are out of the recession. And when you look at all the companies that have come here, I take issue with the idea that we shouldn't be giving them some sort of an incentive. Recently, Quonset Electric Boat, I mean, Connecticut gave them one, and we gave them one, and we got a better deal. So I think that's the way the game is played. And as I say, there are maybe other reasons you can fault her for. But in terms of economic development and jobs, I think she's done a good job.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about President Trump's decision to take the U.S. out of the nuclear agreement with Iran. Reaction has broken along partisan lines. Democratic Congressman David Cicilline calls the decision reckless, and he says this damages the credibility of the U.S. on the international stage. Republican Chairman Brandon Bell, why is it a good idea to pull the U.S. out of an agreement that prevented Iran from developing a nuclear weapon?
Because I'm not so sure that it prevented Iran from creating a nuclear weapon in the long run. You know, I think there were problems with enforceability from the outset. It looked like a bad deal. It smelled like a bad deal. Trump campaigned on undoing that deal. And I think there's a broad support for his foreign policy. It's not leading from behind like it was under Barack Obama. It's peace through strength. And he's gotten results. Look what's happening in North Korea. He's got them coming to the bargaining table. And so I think I would trust some of his decisions. Something's happening right now. Something big is happening right now with the president. He's doing really good things on foreign policy.
Maureen, part of the criticism from Republicans is that a more comprehensive approach is needed to make Iran a more responsible actor on the international stage. How do you look at this issue?
Look, I think, first of all, I want to give President Trump credit for the Korea Initiative. Definitely that's moving in the right direction. But I do have reservations about Iran. I mean, it would be great if you could get an overall strategy. But to pull back now and alienate our allies, I think is a very dangerous thing, particularly what's going on most recently in the Middle East. It's a powder keg. One of the interesting things here is in Rhode Island is we have a senator, Senator Whitehouse, who supports this, and we have a very smart Republican challenger who's opposed, who supports President Trump. So one of the things we'll be able to hear is a thoughtful debate about this policy by two very knowledgeable people come the election.
I think the most knowledgeable person in the delegation on this issue is Senator Reid, and I tend to agree with him because we're going this alone once again. This is unilateral. We're not bringing our allies together. It's like leaving the Paris Climate Agreement. And U.S. sanctions, without help from the EU and our other allies, further U.S. sanctions aren't going to do anything to Iran. And there's also no visible evidence that they have violated this agreement.
Well, let's move from Tehran back to Smith Hill. How's that for a segue? As we know, there are only four Republicans in the 38-member state Senate and 11 in the 75-member House of Representatives. Chairman Bell, we know that you can't turn this upside down overnight, but does the Rhode Island Republican Party have an effective strategy in place to begin improving its representation in the legislature?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's never easy. It usually is easier for us in gubernatorial years, non-presidential years, I should say. And, we are going to target districts where the president did well in 2016. We're going to target districts where we think we could win. It's not a matter of running 113 people for all 113 seats in the General Assembly. We need to...
How many races would you hope to compete in this year?
You know, it's about quality candidates more than it is about the quantity of candidates for in my strategy and in my thinking. I would hope to field 50 or 60 candidates. Throughout the 113. I know people say, well, you can't win or you can't compete when you have no one. But there are some districts that we just will not be able to compete in. And that's just so you have somebody who's a quality candidate and it's a waste of resources.
Scott, how do you see the outlook for increasing the Republican presence in the General Assembly?
One of the things I think the chairman's going to have to do is try to forge some unity. I mean, the Republican Party's small. You can put them all in one room. But the problem is they all hate each other. House Minority Leader isn't even on speaking terms with the current House Minority Leader. I mean, it's just really a splintered party. You've got Joe Trillo running around out there as an independent.
Not a member of my party, Joe Trillo.
Well, he was. And I guess what I'm saying is, do you have a candidate this minute to run for lieutenant governor where you could have a chance, given the Democratic primary, and are you confident you'll have a candidate, a good candidate, against House Speaker Nick Mattiello?
There is a Republican for Lieutenant Governor, Paul Pence.
Yep. I believe that we'll have candidates for both the Lieutenant Governor's race and for the Speaker's race.
Last word here to Maureen.
Well, I'm always interested in terms of building up strength in the Assembly per se, and I wonder how well you do. But I do have to say, you need to look at the top of the ticket, too, because you have an attorney general, a treasurer, sure, a secretary of state that's going to walk back into office, as far as I can see. And I think that's a failing in terms of the GOP.
Well, it's tough. This year is particularly tough, with Peter Noronha running. We'll probably have a challenger there as well. I don't think it's really a failing. I think it's, we have to compete where we know we can win.
What about treasurer and secretary of state? Do you expect to field candidates in those races?
Yeah, at this point in time, I do.
All right, we're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Rhode Island Republican Chairman Brandon Bell.
Thank you for having me again.
Thanks for joining us. And as usual, you can find a lot more information on our website at ripr.org.